Today is Friday, February 13th. You're listening to the GPP Shareholder Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. With the possibility of a shareholder vote coming soon, or at least once the snow melts in New York City, the battle for Warner Bros. Discovery kicked into high gear this week with David Ellison's Paramount Skydance enhancing its bid to compete with Netflix, while an activist showed up to scuttle the existing Netflix WBD deal. The enhanced Paramount proposal, unveiled Tuesday, was aimed at addressing some of the concerns from WBD's board and potentially bringing the company to the negotiating table. In this latest attempt by Paramount to get WBD to abandon its deal with Netflix, David Ellison's company is offering to cover the $2.8 billion termination fee WBD would owe Netflix. Paramount also introduced a ticking fee of 25 cents per share, roughly $650 million, for every quarter the deal remains open beyond year-end. Personally guaranteed by Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison, and backed by $43.6 billion in equity from the Ellison family and Redbird Capital Partners, along with $54 billion in debt commitments, Paramount is showcasing its commitment to handling WBD's debt financing obligations and bridge loans. The next day, shareholder activist Ancora entered the fray with a stake in WBD and an argument that Paramount's bid is superior. The press release and presentation outline the firm's vote no campaign against the WBD Netflix deal, while calling on the WBD board to negotiate with Paramount. Ancora argues that Netflix's deal is asking shareholders to accept uncertain cash consideration tied to the financial condition of a cable network spinoff called Discovery Global. This structure of the WBD Netflix deal is not as simple as the Paramount deal for the whole Magilla. Paramount noted that SpinCo would need to allocate $17 billion in debt to Discovery to hit the high end of the merger consideration range if the separation occurred on June 30, 2026. Ancora pointed to CNBC owner Versant Media, Discovery Global's closest comparable, which has seen its valuation slide since debuting in January, as a cautionary tale about what WBD shareholders might actually receive. As a next step, the WBD board said it would review Paramount's amended offer, but isn't changing its recommendation for the Netflix deal. This has some shareholders expecting Paramount to bump its bid by another $2 to $3 per share, which could restart serious talks. Both deals face regulatory reviews, although President Trump recently said he will let the Justice Department handle the decision. Except that now we don't have a head of antitrust at DOJ. It appears politics between the White House and DOJ prompted Gail Slater, DOJ's head of antitrust, to announce her resignation this week, suggesting perhaps that politics will indeed play a more prominent role in the contest. This comes after the number two in antitrust walked as well, according to Liz Hoffman at Semaphore. The WBD saga is just one example of what promises to be a busy year for M&A, activism, and antitrust, all hot topics at the upcoming Tulane Corporate Law Institute in mid-March in New Orleans. We are once again polling dealmakers on their outlook for M&A and activism. Please let us know what you think will happen this year. We will share the results in Tulane and buy you beignets and chicory coffee at Café du Monde. Lastly, in what could only be described as a feel-good story for middle-aged people like some of us, we cheered the personal injury lawyer who has shot to great fame being on the USA's men's curling team. Indeed, we are a bit jealous. Perhaps with the cold weather, Mayor Mamdani can add a curling rink to Central Park. Meanwhile, in activism news for this week. From Reuters, activist investor Elliott takes LSIG stake to target performance, source says. The hedge fund is pushing the London Stock Exchange owner to increase share buybacks and boost profit margins, amid investor concerns of artificial intelligence displacing LSEG's offerings in financial data and analytics. Also from Reuters, Impactive Capital nominates four candidates to FinTech Wex's board. In an ongoing situation, Lauren Taylor Wolf's Impactive Capital nominated four directors as a part of the firm's efforts to get the board of fintech company Wex to focus efforts on simplifying the business instead of pursuing deals with poor strategic rationale. In deal-making news, from the Financial Times, in a deal that could create one of the world's largest asset managers, Nuveen announced the proposed acquisition of UK asset manager Schroders for 612p a share. Also from the Financial Times, a buyout group, led by PE firm Advent and logistics giant FedEx, agreed to buy Polish parcel locker company InPost at a 50% premium to the company's unaffected share price. And finally from the Wall Street Journal, Following a significant investment from Apollo, Brad Jacobs's QXO continued its rapid expansion with the acquisition of lumber and construction materials distributor, Kodiak Building Partners. Moving on to corporate governance news, Reuters reports, Kraft Heinz pauses split. New CEO says problems are fixable. In a surprise move, new Kraft Heinz CEO Steve Cahillane announced that the company was halting efforts to split the food giant and focusing on shifting all resources against growing the business. In a recent post, UNLV law professor Benjamin P. Edwards discussed his PLI panel where the panelists covered Dexit with the professor, believing that concerns on this are overblown, and that Delaware will remain king of the hill by a substantial margin. Meanwhile, after Japan's recent elections, CNBC interviewed Rahul Ghosh of T. Rowe Price in a conversation that looks at the effect of the election on the country's stock markets and future foreign investor flows. On IPO Watch this week, Reuters reports, a recent forecast of the IPO market from analysts at Goldman Sachs, led by potential IPOs of high-profile companies such as SpaceX, OpenAI, and Anthropic, has the market excited, as the firm predicts the number of IPOs to double to 120, with proceeds quadrupling to a record $160 billion. The IPO market could be looking at software sell-off and debt sales as potential headwinds. While there is still a lot of enthusiasm on Wall Street regarding IPOs, namely in the tech industry, CNBC noted that some of this excitement might get drowned out with UBS estimating that tech and AI-related debt issuance across the globe more than doubled to $710 billion in 2025. Meanwhile, Reuters dove into commentary from bankers who discussed how the recent software sell-off, partially driven by AI, could stall IPOs as volatility makes valuations unreliable. And the New York Times Dealbook newsletter dove into the VCs who have bet on Musk with an analysis of those who invested in X, XAI, or SpaceX only, some involved in all three, prognosticating the payouts for said investors as the conjoined company goes public in 2026. This week in From Our Desk to Yours, a few GP purrs took in All Out, comedy about ambition at the Nederlander Theater, which runs through March 8. The show features a rotating cast of comedians. Think Sarah Silverman, Craig Robinson, and Heidi Gardner, performing a collection of funny short stories from Simon Rich about ego, envy, greed, and our fair city. The show also features music by NYC native Lawrence, a soul pop band who rocked the house throughout the show. Shout out to Clyde Lawrence for his Mets hat during the performance. Yes, pitchers and catchers have showed up for the beginning of baseball season. In foodie news, for those who want to enjoy the boom in kaiseki in New York City, we bring you Anba, a 10-seat omakase counter opening February 12 on the Lower East Side from acclaimed sushi chef Amberly Wimet. According to foodie newsletter The Strong Buzz, she is the only female kaiseki chef in New York City. Remember, kaiseki is not sushi. In People Moves this week, drugmaker Sanofi announced that Belén Garijo, former CEO of Merck KGaA, will succeed Paul Hudson as CEO. Workday co-founder Anil Bhusri returned to the enterprise software giant as CEO, with Carl Eschenbach stepping down. Michael Grimes has left the U.S. Commerce Department to rejoin Morgan Stanley as chairman of investment banking. And finally, upcoming events to keep on your calendar. February 25th, the Conference Board's 2026 proxy season preview, New York, New York. March 3rd to 4th, Bloomberg Invest, New York, New York. March 6th, University of Delaware's 2026 Corporate Governance Symposium, Newark, Delaware. March 19th to 20th, Tulane Corporate Law Institute, New Orleans, Los Angeles. April 13th to 17th, Semaphore World Economy, Washington, D.C. And that wraps up this week's newsletter. As always, thank you for listening and have a great weekend.